He's busted. Glad. Okay, I see you out of glass. Ready, ready, right. Left. Oh, heck no.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Wonner Podcast, the podcast
right.
where we
I
break down and review
Dickums.
Films all in one big, long,
right.
unbroken take. Man. I'm Austin
okay.
Archer, and with
go.
Me, as
oh,
always,
no.
is my childhood next-door neighbor and
that.
Lifelong best friend.
Left.
Kramer, England.
All right. We're talking about Tron Ares today. It's in theaters
eat.
Right now if you
oh,
want to go check it out.
I can definitely eat this, right? Yes, yes,
yeah,
please.
Let's jump
let's
right into our
profile.
Thoughts, spoiler-free
okay,
on this
Latina
one.
Princess.
We just talked about, this was one
this.
Of the movies that we talked about in
okay.
our
yes,
beginning
Poppy.
Of the year predictions for
Poppy
like
Chulo.
The biggest films of the year. And
nah,
I think
man, so cold in
neither
here.
One of us went back and watched what we said, but I think what I said was like, I don't think I'm going to really care about this movie. I don't really
Guys,
care about the Tron
yo,
franchise.
Kanye
I've never
just
really
dropped
been
something.
Grabbed
I don't know if it's that crazy,
the story
but man,
particularly.
I'm
I think
hyped.
The movies can be entertaining.
Man, I have no service right now. I can't listen
what
to
they
it.
Offer
Bro,
in terms
come
of visuals,
on.
But what's your feeling
All right.
about this movie?
Yeah, my feeling,
what do
I think.
With this camera, I,
you
it's
know,
not working
it was,
the light. The
it was
off,
entertaining. But, I went in with low expectations.
Oh,
I had
man,
a good time
me.
Because I had those low expectations.
Hey, cupcake.
I wanted there to be a good score, which I feel like Nanny Nails
we
did
need
great
to do a
job.
Feature on that OnlyFans. Yep.
I do
really
not feel
do.
Like
really
it was better than
Daft
Punk.
Views, make some
Daft
noise.
Punk is just like one of my all-time favorites. I love that soundtrack.
Damn, it's cool.
But, and you know, I wanted there to be some cool action, cool. some cool visuals, and that's what I got. I went and saw it with my son. So I had a good time, but the movie itself left me wanting something more. And that's kind of all three Tron movies.
Yeah.
Like I went back and I watched all three. Did you watch?
I didn't. I was going to. And then honestly, Tron Ares left me feeling so empty that I was like, I just don't care enough about the franchise to even go back and watch. And I was like, I was curious. I was like, I should start it from the beginning and see if it like hits harder. But I'm just like, I think the general feeling from most audiences is like, okay.
Yeah,
like, it's like
it's kind
know?
Of a it's such a weird franchise because not many people are really asking for this, at least not that I know of, and they keep trying to make it now. So I watched the original Tron, and this is definitely a movie where they were like, we can do all this cool stuff. So they made the movie doing all the cool stuff, but there's not really a good enough story to back it up. Like,
yeah,
I'm
what
like,
is the
okay.
story of the original one? Just Kevin Flynn invents a way to go inside of his video games?
No, there's this other guy. So the bad guy in Tron Ares is his grandson. And
right, so it's always so, been Dillinger versus...
Dillinger, yeah, it's always
Dillinger
been Dillinger.
Versus... Okay.
So, yeah, he's like created this master program and like all the programs have... And so his company found a way to digitize things. Just to make them, you know, they send like an orange into the digisphere or whatever, you know, whatever they say.
The grid.
Yeah, they put it into the grid. And so like they're trying to take down the master program. And when they're doing that, Flynn, who does not work at the company anymore, they sneak him in and then he gets digitized and he's trying to stop the master program from destroying all the other programs. And so
he
then
gets
he
like, honey,
the,
I shrunk the kids into
yeah,
the, into
yeah.
the pro- yeah. Uh-huh.
And like, so it's, I mean, you know, it's like, okay, they definitely had style over substance in a way, you know, there. Cause like the story's just fine. There's nothing.
That's all of them though. Right. Like we
yeah.
said, that's
and
all
I,
of them.
I watched Tron Legacy last night. That is by far my favorite Tron movie. And I think it's just that I love that soundtrack so much. Like Daft Punk did such a, the feeling that it is and like the style of it and like how it looks, how it's shot, everything is really, really, really good. But then the third act, it falls off.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like all of a sudden Sam Flynn does not become the pro. He just kind of takes a back seat in his own story. And yeah. I'm like, okay, this is not as good of an ending, but I still actually really like that movie. So, but this movie is kind of the same. It's just kind of like, okay, I'm just lacking.
You know what I think Tron needs one or the other. It's a more interesting like central philosophy behind its story where we're really getting into some questions about sentience and what it means to be human and what it means to exist. And like we need to actually like get deeper into that in the same way that the Wachowskis did with The Matrix. Like we need to either get deeper or, and the Wachowskis do both of this better than Tron, but or They just need to lean into the fact that the concept is simple. It's people from the real world getting pulled into a digital world, and they play like these kind of cool digital games with these discs and these bikes, but just make all of that more hardcore. Just make it like like the best sequences in Legacy and Ares are like these few action sequences where it's like, ah, cool. They're like throwing their discs and stuff. And like, and I'm just like, you know what? If this is all your movie has to offer mostly is like these visuals and the cool soundtrack, then just like own that and hit like John Wick this thing, because John Wick is like so thin on plot. And it's like, what we're going to show you for 2 hours are just amazing action set pieces, just one after another after another. And we're going to keep heightening them. And there's going to be like cool neon lighting and pretty cool music. And Keanu Reeves is going to be awesome. And it's like, my feeling with Tron is like, hey, it's fine if you don't want to like write a deeper story with more interesting characters. But like, if your movie is just going to be visuals and music, then at least like go all out on these action set pieces and make them longer and crazier. And like, because like an action scene will happen. You'll be like, all right, here we go. And in Legacy and Ares, they're kind of like over pretty quick. It's like, it's almost like the amount of animation that the sequences require, you know, the amount of like effects that they require just makes them very expensive to do. So it's like, well, we can only really do this for like 2 minutes and then we got to get back to the movie. And it's like, cool. I think like if this is all your movie has, because my feeling about Tron Ares basically is like I think I saw this film in the best possible version of it, which is I had heard from several people, see it in 3D if you can, because it was really made for 3D. Like they really crafted the film to be a 3D experience. And I was like, that makes sense. That seems like something they would do with Tron. Mm-hmm. And I don't usually go in for 3D, but I have an AMC Stubbs A-list membership, and seeing it in IMAX 3D is the same price as seeing it anywhere else. It's always free for me. But that's awesome. So I was like, whatever, I'll go see it in IMAX 3D, because like I think that's probably the best possible movie going experience I can get from Tron Ares. And I was not disappointed with the visuals. And like you said, with the Nine Inch Nails soundtrack, and those were the stars of the film for me, like from early on in the film, from like the opening title sequence and everything, and early sequences inside of the computer world. I was like, ah, cool. Like they're really doing stuff with the 3D element. And I don't feel cheated. I feel like they really designed this to be a visual experience. But I was kind of thinking like, this feels like it should be like a Sphere show or something in Vegas, you know? Like it should be more of like a just like an experience that that people put on 3D glasses and have like this crazy sensory experience. It feels more like that than a movie. And the movie behind all of it is just something that I'm like, I don't care. And I think at a time when AI is taking over everything, and we're having all these conversations about the proliferation and popularization of generative AI and data centers, I'm like, you could make you could write a screenplay here that has something to say about that. And you could have characters that have something interesting to say about that. But I just felt like it's all very thin. On depth. And I think the whole series is that way.
Yes, I totally agree. And I actually think it would have been better. All three of these movies, like they just play games for some reason. It's weird because they make games, like they make games. So it's like, why is it not just a more simple plot of like you get sucked in and then you have to play the games to survive? So each game, you got to do something really cool. You know, you got to do the light cycle and you got to do this like.
And the game should be like sick. Like it should just be just like really fun,
cool stuff.
Yeah, just like go all out on like crazy action set pieces.
Yeah. You know? Like they're trying to give. And like, so this is the thing about Ares. I really liked the character of Ares because he is an AI, but he is learning benevolence, right? Like he's learning and he's like, I found him very, very interesting, but we didn't spend enough time with him because the other character, I forget her name.
Greta Lee plays her.
Eve Kim. Mm-hmm. Like her whole storyline, I was like, I don't care. Like I could not connect with it. Like it felt like they were trying really, really hard to make her sister like really likable. And I feel like they really failed with that. So I wish it was just more about Ares having to play these games and realizing that like this is not right. I shouldn't be doing this to people, right? Or like, and then, because then you have Dillinger, who's already a bad guy. So if you have somebody who's even worse than an AI program, it makes it, who is a person, makes it very interesting to me. Like if you have that AI who's learning how to be a good person, and there's a real person who's really bad, like that's the story that I felt was more interesting, but they didn't go with it.
So I think that they're, I think, you know, and again, like a big part of the movie is that Tron is, or Ares is developed to be a super soldier in the real world.
Yeah.
The movie is, you know, again, without getting into too many spoilers, the movie is about how in the third movie, they're trying to bring elements from the digital world out into the real world.
Yeah.
And Dillinger wants to make, and this is all in the trailer, so I don't feel like this is,
no, you're not spoiling
it. He wants to make a fleet of super soldiers that are, that are developed in the digital world and brought out into the real world. But a lot is made of, especially at the beginning of the movie, of like Tron, or I keep calling him Tron, of Ares being the ultimate fighter and the ultimate, you know, kind of like super soldier. And I'm like, okay, cool. If we're going to build this up this much, then like we really got to cut loose in the middle acts of, in the middle act and final act of this film. Like,
yes,
really like let him be awesome.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I agree. Ares is the most interesting character in the film. And I like his development, but we lose him for like a good chunk of like the back half of the second act and third act.
Oh.
And he's just sort of like off the story map doing something else that takes him away from the main action. And I'm like, we need like, we just need some sequences where Ares has to, is like faced, is like up against like 30 mercenaries who are highly trained. And he just goes through like John Wick style, like one by one takes them out.
Yeah.
And it's like a long prolonged fight scene. That's like, we just need some like really cool.
Do it. Like they went for the nostalgia factor. Cause he went back to like the 80s version of Tron, which I'm like, I don't care. But if you would have had it, what you were saying, where he goes and the other programs are like, he has to get to this spot in order to get out. So we're going to stop him. And he has to work his way through, you know, all the different levels or whatever with a bunch of different programs that are coming after him. Dude, that would have been awesome.
Yeah,
that would have been great.
Just make it like, just make him straight up Neo and just have him just be doing like, just have really crazy long, because that's all you're really offering is like visuals and a dope soundtrack. And I'm like, if that's all that's on order, that's fine. I'll go see John Wick and just watch John Wick fight. Got 30 guys at a time for 2 hours straight, but like, because I know that that's all that movie is offering me, and I'm not like there to learn anything deep. Like at this point, I'm just like, John is Baba Yaga, and he goes around and he's invincible, and nobody can beat John. And it's, and the whole movie is just like one cool fight scene after another.
Yeah.
And I kind of just left Tron Ares being like, you know, Legacy and Ares have so much style. So much visual flair and style between the soundtrack and the visuals. And I just feel like they both could be such cooler movies if they just were like, hey, if we're not going to get in either. And again, they could either have something more interesting to say philosophically, or they could just go, you know what? We're just going to be kind of like a 2 hour long movie that an hour and 30 minutes of the runtime is just going to be like really cool action set pieces, you know?
Cause I wish it would have been that. And I think also that, so the director Joachim Rønning, I'm not exactly sure if that's, I'm pronouncing it correctly, but I also don't feel like he directed the action very well because the pacing of the action scenes were pretty slow. Even though the visuals looked cool, it's like, I want it to be the Matrix. I want it to be like, there were a couple moments where I was like, oh, that was cool. Why didn't you do that more?
Yeah.
But then they didn't. You know,
there's a few moments that I was like, oh, that's kind of fun, that's kind of cool, but it's like not enough for what this movie has, what this movie is offering. I saw someone say on Threads the other day, and I was like, that's so true. Someone posted like a screenshot from Zack Snyder's Justice League, and they were like, just a reminder that Zack Snyder understands cinema. And then someone in the comments was like, you know, he really could have had an all-time great career as just a DP. If he had just been the guy shooting the movies and let somebody else write and direct, he really could have had, he really could have been like a Roger Deakins, like of action movies, of comic book movies. He could have been like, you know, just like a really legendary DP who, if he just worked with better directors. And I feel like, you know, I feel like that's kind of the thing here is it's like, you can take a lot of images from Tron Ares or Tron Legacy and even the original Tron and go like, that's pretty cool. Like, that's a pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, but it's like imagery will, you know, cinema isn't just an image based medium. It also needs, you know, intriguing characters and intriguing plot. And if you're thin on that too, then just give me something to sink my teeth into.
Yeah.
And I don't think that, like, you know, a visually striking design and a strong soundtrack is enough to sustain 90 minutes or 2 hours.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's,
it's maybe enough for like a really interesting short that's like 20 minutes long, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, let's get into specifics. So that's the end of our spoiler-free thoughts. We're going to get into specifics and break down this movie. If you don't want this movie spoiled, then that's the end of our spoiler-free. So you are warned now. Spoilers.
Yeah, spoilers. We're
telling you things that happen. but yeah, this movie starts off with sort of a montage of, you know, catching us up on...
It's like an exposition dump.
Yeah. Really, and again, in 3D, this was kind of cool because we were like, everything was coming at the screen and flying off the screen. And we're like going, it was very Matrix-like where we start off with like Kevin Flynn in an interview on an old TV. And then we go into the pixels of the TV and like through the pixels.
Right. Yeah.
And in 3D, it was like, we were like flying through the pixels and then going into the next screen and then going through the pixels of that screen. And, you know, it was very, very reminiscent of the Matrix when they go into the letters and
Yeah, I noticed that too. And it's just kind of setting the stage, which is like, Kevin Flynn is still, he's gone. Nobody knows where he is. No one really knows where he is, even though we know where he went. But then like Sam Flynn gave up the company to these two sisters. I think, right. Isn't that what he said?
Yep.
Like he gave it to these two sisters and then Dillinger, I can't remember what his first name is. What's his? It's like,
who cares? I just, whatever. His mom, who is Scully.
Yeah.
Gillian Anderson, I guess, was the CEO of Dillinger, but she retired and gives it to her son. And her son is Evan Peters. And it's like, whatever. She's got a British accent now. I think this is just how Gillian Anderson speaks now. I think she spent so much time in the UK that she now just
speaks with a British
accent.
Well, I was like, is she British? I always thought she is American.
I don't think she is. I don't either. She just has been living in the UK for so long that's how she speaks now. And I'm like, whatever, Queen. Go ahead.
Yeah, because she, like, it says right here. She was born in 1968 in Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah.
So she's, but like,
She's been living in the UK for a long time, and she's done like a lot of like theater on the West End and done a lot of TV shows in London and like, you know, done a lot of like British productions. And I'm like, and she's always using an English accent in those productions. And so I'm like, does she just speak like that now?
Maybe I'm wrong. Cause like, I'm trying to see if she's, you know, she was born in America, but then when she was five, she moved to the UK, but I don't know.
Who knows? Maybe
that is a British accent, though.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, the original Dillinger is the guy from Titanic, and he was British. So I guess they were going off of that. And she's probably like, I'm just more comfortable using this accent now.
Who knows? And maybe, maybe if she moved there at five, maybe that is her accent. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't think she did. So I don't know.
I mean, my first introduction to her was as Dana Scully, and I just have that voice in my head.
Know? That's the one that I have as well. It says, it says that they did move to Puerto Rico and then they moved to London.
Who knows what's going on with her? She's all over the place.
So she was 11, I guess. So yeah, so she could probably go back and forth. If she was 11 when she moved there or around about, she could probably do both accents.
Kenneth Branagh moved to London from Ireland when he was like 11 or 12.
Oh,
and it's because of the troubles in Ireland.
Yes,
and they were escaping Belfast. And he's talked about that he's just like, he's like, when I was a teenager, I just sort of started to learn the accent to assimilate. Is it because all my friends spoke like they were from London, and so I just started speaking like I was from London, and he's like, and then now as an adult I sound like I'm from London, you know?
Yeah. And so, you know, I mean I have friends who are from Boston and sounds very much not from Boston, but then if he talks to people from Boston, that accent comes out.
Yeah.
He sounds, it was wicked hot, you know, and it's like, wow, well, I've never heard you sound like that before.
It'd be funny if Gillian Anderson, when she's in Chicago, is all of a sudden like, yeah, the Bears, go down and get a Chicago tag. I just want to go get a hat tag.
Yeah. Go Bears.
Go Bears. Bears.
Go Bears.
Be able to just catch a Bulls game.
maybe she does. Get her on the phone with a guy from Chicago. It'll come out.
Yeah, but whatever. We get a little exposition dump, and then we like go into the mind of Ares, and Ares wakes up, and we're introduced to Ares. And we basically like, I felt like the beginning of this movie, it hit the ground running with a nice pace.
It did.
We go into this like training montage with Ares where he's explained to by Evan Peters like who he is and what his directive is. And basically he just keeps training and fighting and dying and waking back up. And we sort of get the sense that like it's painful for him to go through this. He's like always screaming when he wakes up. And and you know, he's basically just, it's like he's just, it's live, die, repeat until he becomes a super soldier, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Now this training montage was cool because he's fighting. He first starts out and the guy punches him and then he learns how to, you know, block a punch and then it just shows him fighting. And I wish the rest of the movie was like this because it was a fun action sequence where he's fighting a bunch of guys, really cool choreography.
Well, and this is video games, right?
Yeah.
Like you could do cool things too in the video game world, like spawn points, you know, things that where like when he has to like move through and like attack the enemy base, if there's like respawning points where it's like instead of having to go all the way back to my base, like a video game, if I make it to a certain checkpoint, then it's like, cool, I will start there again if I die. So maybe the checkpoint is like right outside of the base and, you know, and I don't know. Or like there's like a checkpoint that someone can like throw to him that he can like set down, right? You know, I don't know. I just think that there's like more interesting ways that they can play with all of this. And again, I think if it's the only thing the movie has to offer, then like go for it, get crazy with it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, live, die, repeat, Edge of Tomorrow should be doing a better job with this concept than a movie that literally takes place inside of a video game world, you know?
Yeah. We get that training montage. And then I think we go into the Dillinger area, right? And he's presenting, Evan Peters is presenting to all these, you know, tech people and military people, and he shows them what he can create from the digital world, which is like this huge tank thing, which is really cool. Production design is awesome.
I mean, everything looks great.
Looks amazing. Yeah. Very slick. Very, very cool. And they did actually build light cycles for this that you could drive.
And the light cycles look awesome.
Very, very cool. I love them.
I think the costumes are great. The light cycles are awesome. This giant tank thing that they make is cool. Like everything looks practical and looks like tactile in a really cool way. And I like the visual style of Ares a little more than Legacy, because in Legacy it's still very digital and it felt like the world here was a little more tactile.
I actually like Legacy better, but I love the idea of bringing everything into the real world.
Yeah.
But the nice thing about this movie is I loved how tangible it felt because it is more real. Like they have those real elements.
Yeah.
Which I think is awesome. So,
Evan Peters is like pitching this program to his investors and they're really impressed. And he's, you know, what he doesn't tell them is that there is a time limit on how long the things and the people that he brings from the digital world can exist in the real world. There's a 29 minute limit. Yeah. And so Ares and Athena, who he brings out from the digital world, they both die what looks like a painful death after 29 minutes. But Ares also, like, he sees that it's raining and he gets really intrigued by the rain. Yeah. And we sort of get a sense that he has a deeper inner world than his maker understands.
Yeah, because he sees the rain and he makes a joke that they didn't realize that he was going to make. And then when he goes back into the digital world, he sees Athena and he's like, oh, there was rain. Like, I could almost feel it. And she doesn't understand. She doesn't know what he's talking about. And again, that kind of gives you the first thing that like, oh, okay, he's got something to him. You know, he is feeling like, and I really liked that through line. It just wasn't explored enough.
I just feel like it's like, again, it's like somehow you gotta find a way to explore this stuff that's in a way that's a more emotionally satisfying.
Yeah,
you know, in a way that's more. I don't, because it's like there's that scene with him and Jeff Bridges later where he's like, "How do you know?" And he's like, "I just feel it." And he's like, yeah. "Right on, man."
Yeah.
You know, and that kind of thing. I'm like, but somehow there's gotta be a way to explore this stuff in a way that doesn't feel so hollow and just so like we're just telling you, oh, he feels things.
Whatever they were trying to do, it wasn't really accomplished in my mind. It feels like they should have either gone way more with that or pulled back, like we talked about.
And I agree with you that they're probably spending too much time with Greta Lee's character, because the movie is called Tron Ares. And it's like, if you want to make a movie about this program that is gaining sentience and learning what it means to feel and learning what it means to have its own identity, you kind of have to make that program the main focus of the plot. You can't have like a secret other main character who almost has more screen time than him, you know?
Yeah, it really, I mean, it's. Yeah, that really, I wasn't as interested in Greta Lee, unfortunately, but then we go to her.
I really like Greta Lee, but yeah.
I haven't really seen her in much, but this, it's unfortunate because her character just was not that great.
No, it's not a great character. Greta Lee is in one of my favorite movies of all time, Past Lives, and she's incredible in that movie. I have a lot of respect for her, and I think she's a great actress. I just don't think that this role is, I think it's thinly written. I don't think she was given much to work with, and honestly I didn't really like her in this film. I just didn't really like her character, and I think it might just be that it's like every time we're on her in the story, it's just sort of like, okay, can we get back to the stuff that's actually like interesting.
It did not seem like her fault. It was just this is not like, this character's not doing anything much, and I could not connect with her in any way. And it seemed like they were trying, but it wasn't working. But we do go to her next, and she's in Alaska or something for some reason.
She's somewhere where there's snow, and there's a lab up there that for some reason, I don't know why they're out there. Her sister had a lab out there. Yeah.
Like, what's the point? Why are you in Alaska? Like,
I don't know. Yeah. And there's a lab where her sister is kind of like recreated Kevin Flynn's lab. Her sister's like obsessed with Kevin Flynn. And this was also like pretty thin that her sister's like, oh, I know that Kevin Flynn's out there somewhere. And it's just sort of like, they just sort of mention that. And it's like, it doesn't really matter. It's just like, what her sister was looking for and what Greta Lee is trying to finish of her sister's work is this, a permanence code, which can basically make it so that you can bring things out to the real world from the digital world permanently. And they won't expire after 29 minutes. Yeah. She's also like, this guy that's out there with her, I don't know this actor's name, but he plays this guy in every movie that he's in. And when he came in, and I just was like, oh, it's this guy doing this thing. And it just, and I just was like, I don't care about this character at all. And the movie was trying to be like, hey, it's this guy. He's being, but I was like, he is that guy in every movie I've ever seen him in. And I don't think it's like as charming as Hollywood producers think it is. No shade to this actor at all, but it's just sort of like a typecasting that he's been put into. And I feel like every time I see him show up in a movie, he's this character. And I've never really been like, oh yeah, hell yeah, this guy. I'm always just kind of like, sure, whatever.
He's the exact same. He was just there and it was like, okay, he's kind of funny, but not really. So
I can't even remember the last time I saw him in something, but like, I feel like the last movie I saw him in, he could just be the exact same character. And they're like, he also exists in this movie. And I knew exactly who he was when he walked into the tent. I was like, he's like the comic relief for the film. And it's going to be like really pushing it to like make him funny. Yeah. It's going to be.
Yeah. And you are exactly right. That's basically what it was. But they do find the permanence code. And they're able to keep a orange tree alive for however long. And then when they're heading back, and somehow Dillinger gets word of it or gets wind of it. And like, he tells Ares to like find her and get the code, like by any means necessary, or he, you know, get the code and bring it back to me.
And basically, he sends Ares and Athena and their crew over to the, I guess, what the Encon base in the digital world to steal the information.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Which
that's
this right. is a this is a really fun sequence. They like in the digital Tron world, they Ares and Athena and a bunch of like their foot soldiers go and do this little like heist. They break into the Encon secure like digital palace, and they have a big fight with all of these like Encon digital security assets. And this was a really cool, fun sequence. Yeah. But again, I was like, you could do more with this sequence. The music's great. Like Nine Inch Nails is ripping it up during this sequence. And there's some really cool visuals, but it's just something where I'm like, hey, if this is what the movie's going to be, then like these sequences really have to.
Yeah. They have to be set pieces.
Right.
These were just kind of like cool action sequences, but no, you've got to do like the thing that I liked about Tron Legacy, like you said, like they're just kind of quick. They're not long enough, the action sequences. And like, but in Tron Legacy, they do this cool thing with the gravity where he falls on the ceiling, right? And they kind of fall back down. Like, why don't you do more stuff with that, right? Like, it's a completely digital world. You could do some crazy stuff with gravity or turning things off. Like,
have power ups. Have all if it's a video game, let's again make this a full set piece, because they're approaching like a giant like castle almost. You know, it's like a giant fortress, and I feel like there should be like multiple layers that they have to get through. And really make this an intricate, complex thing.
Yeah.
And have them using power ups, and you like maybe there's like a platform that they throw out and they can jump on it, and it gives them like a super jump.
Right,
you know.
Right. Yeah,
so I don't really. It's a video game. Like go nuts with this. Yeah. A power up. Like the fact that he only has the one weapon the whole time, that it's just like this little triangle thing. I'm like, that thing's cool. But how about like a power up that's like a super gun that comes out? It's I don't know. Like,
yeah.
I just feel like get wild with it. You know?
Yeah. Go for it, all in. But I mean, it's still a fun action sequence, but then he's on the way out and one of his people gets hurt, like his leg gets, you know, digitized off or whatever, derezzed. And and then he decides to go back after Athena is like, don't go. And so I did like that moment where he has to decide, right? He is an active protagonist. He decides to go back and actually help his team. And then they bring him back, and then that person that he helped just gets killed anyway. Which again, I thought, oh, this is great. Like, I really like that they did that, that he showed some sort of heart and went back and got the person, but then the person just gets killed anyway. And he's talking to Evan Peters, and Evan Peters like, what is wrong with this thing? You know, what? And he keeps having these conversations again with his maker, which, and he basically just tells him, you do what I tell you to do. Right. And then, so Ares is like, okay. So then Greta Lee comes back into the States, into the continental States, whatever, wherever they were, I don't know where they were. She comes back, and then Evan Peters sends Ares after her to get because he finds out that she has the permanence code. So they're going to go and get her and get that permanence code. So this was, again, this is the light cycle sequence. And I thought this was really cool. Like they're going after her, and he's got, you know, she's on a motorcycle and she's just driving through the city.
I thought this thing was just cool. Again, I thought it could be a lot cooler.
Absolutely.
These light cycles look cool. But like probably the coolest thing that happens in the entire sequence is the thing that's in the trailer where they're driving down this bridge and the police are chasing them and they shoot out like whatever it is, like the light wall, and it saws the police car in half. And that was like the premier shot from the trailer. And I just was like, well, if the coolest thing in the entire action sequence is the shot that everyone saw 100 times in the trailer, then like, not saying that these light cycles don't look cool, not saying that like the light wall isn't cool, in 3D it was like pretty cool, these things were flying right off the screen and stuff, but I'm just saying like do more with this. Like, do the fact that these light walls are like a physical thing that you can touch. It's like, maybe have Greta Lee, like if they do a turn with one, or they, you know, and they create like a little ramp that she like drives up it or something. And like, you know, I don't know. I'm just saying, like, get creative with this.
I totally agree. The thing that I also noticed the entire sequence, because it's a long sequence, like they're going after him and he, you know, he's like, they're sliding and they get split up. And, but the entire time I'm like, what is happening to all the other cars that are around them? Because I did not feel like anybody else was around.
Yeah,
it just felt like it was just those three. And I'm like, there's like one or two car crashes. And I'm like, no, this would affect the entire city. Everybody would be freaking out. Like, what is going on?
For several, I was thinking the same thing. If for several blocks there are these light walls that are zigzagging through the streets, it would be pandemonium. It would be like every single, you know, and if they it emerged in like an instant, it would be like, oh, like everyone's hitting these things, everyone's flying all over these things. And I feel like that's another thing about this being, about Tron being like such a kind of, it's almost like it's a very toothless series in the way that like the Matrix feels a little more adult. Tron is like the Matrix for kids, because it's Disney. And that's the thing where it's like, you have this thing happening and you can't really deal with the consequences of it, because the consequences are, there's probably a lot of people who are dying because of this. Like, you know, like there's
a lot of car accidents.
Like, and a lot of people who are like sawed in half by this, you know, like if it's sawing through a police car, what's to say there wasn't a person like crossing the street who gets like sliced in half, you know, and they're just like, like you know, but it's like, I don't know, like in a cooler version of this movie, that would probably happen.
There's got to be more consequences. And that was throughout the entire movie. Like, even you see it in the trailer, you see all the light things that are coming out, and like, it's like a few people that are affected. It's kind of like, you need to really go, like, people need to be freaking out. They need to be filming it, and it needs to be kind of chaos in the city. But it was like, oh, a few cop cars show up. And
yeah, why
and,
not have some citizens who are filming it and like touching the light wall, you know, like filming it with their phone and being like, what the, like, what, you know, like, what is this? Like, just seeing people reacting to what's happening, because it's crazy. And it just feels like the city doesn't really notice it or care after this sequence happens. And again, a lot of this chase sequence is just sort of like pretty vanilla. It's just like these cool looking light cycles chasing Greta Lee on a normal motorcycle, but they're not really doing anything other than like just following and like kind of weaving in and out of traffic. But I'm like, boy, you could really do more with this and show more of like why Ares is so formidable, why Athena is so formidable.
Yeah.
I do like how Greta Lee sort of her plan, like what she does to Athena. She drives up to the top of a parking structure and waits for Athena to follow her up. And at the last second, she drives her motorcycle off into Athena, but lets go of it and lets the motorcycle hit her and take her out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's kind of cool. Like, but I think it's almost like you need to establish the real threat that Athena and Ares are, and let her see that they're like more than human, so that she understands the only way I'm getting out of this is if I throw my motorcycle at one of them.
Yeah. Because I mean, she's running up, like she hits off Athena. Athena like falls like four stories or five stories or whatever it is. And she falls, and then Athena's running up, and I'm like, the tension is not really here, because I don't know what she's capable of. Like, you need to have Athena go after somebody who's with her, or like really up the tension of this whole scene, because right now it's just like, well, maybe she just wants to talk to her. Like, I don't know. And why does she react so quickly? Why does Greta Lee react so quickly, even though she has no idea who they are or what they want? So it's kind of like implied.
I was also thinking, like, does she not recognize these things from the digital world that she is? Doesn't she make a video game that has all these characters and things in it? Yeah. I just was like, I couldn't believe she wasn't like calling her teammates and being like, characters from the video game that we make are chasing me down. You know, like, I don't know. It just felt.
Yeah.
You know who's another character that doesn't need to be in this movie is Hasan Minhaj. Like, we don't have time. We don't have time, Hasan Minhaj. Like, and his assistant. I just was like, guys, we don't have time for this. Whatever this is.
Yeah. He was a wasted wasted character, unfortunately. But she ends up getting on the light cycle and she drives away, and then Ares starts chasing after her, and they kind of go down by the docks, and then he is wanting her. He's wanting the permanence code, and he kind of has this, he has this interaction with Greta Lee, and she has some sort of sympathy for him, but then she gets sucked into the digital world from some gun that Evan Peters' guy has, and so she gets now put into the Tron world.
Yeah.
And they kind of like have her in there for a little
Not for long enough, to be honest. It's like,
no,
if you're gonna,
again, yeah,
if you're gonna do this, then do it. Yeah. You know,
she's in there for like 10, 15 minutes, maybe.
Yeah.
And she's like, what's going on? And they're like, the creator's like, oh, you can, you know, we're gonna put you back into the world, but if you don't have your disc, you might die, is basically what they say. And so Evan Peters is like, yeah, just kill her. Like, it's not a big deal. I need this disc and I need the permanence code. And then Ares, like, and again, this was set up fine as well. Like, I thought this is the time when Ares makes the decision to not follow what Evan Peters said. Cause he's like, he takes her into a room. Cause he tells Athena, like, oh, the maker said to hold off and wait.
Yeah.
And then he goes in with Greta Lee and he's like, listen, do you trust me? Or like, can I trust you? And she says, no, you can't really. And then he kind of is like, I'm going to help you, but you need to trust me, whatever.
He makes a deal with her, basically, like, if you help me get permanence, you know, I'll help you. Yeah. I'll get you out of here if you find a way to get me into the real world permanently.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, again, I thought I liked this little interaction and the fact that he goes against Evan Peters. And then we have, again, like, you really need to up this again, because this action sequence is kind of cool. They fall at some point, they kind of end up in the digital water. And then he's got like a light boat instead of like a light cycle, you know, but again, cool. Like, they're on the water and people are chasing after him, and they're like jetpack things that they have. And it was a really fun sequence. But again, you gotta go more with it. You gotta have more explosions,
yeah.
You gotta have more destruction in the digital world, and you gotta kind of have a better layout, because they just go straight.
Yeah,
like, they're just going straight.
They're just like, we're just going to that beam over there, and then we're gonna put you in it and pop you right out. And it's like, and there's not a lot that really goes wrong to like it's just, you gotta have, just make more of this, because this is all your movie really is. And so it looks cool, and everything's again, like, production design and the soundtrack is bumping, and we're getting hard bass lines from Nine Inch Nails, and we're cool. But like, let's have an action, you know, set piece to match the visual and the music. Yeah. Let's have something that is worthy of the style that it is being presented in, you know?
Cause they ultimately just get out, and then they're in the real world, but they have to get out of Evan Peters' area, cause they, you know, reintegrate into society or whatever. And then they have to leave, and he only has 29 minutes.
Right.
So they steal some van or something, and then they have to go. And this is kind of where the movie really falls off. Like, everything from this point is like, I'm totally with the movie. Like during that, even that last action sequence, I was like, this is cool enough for me. Like, if it stays at this pace and it keeps doing all this stuff, like, I'm totally with the movie. But then when they get back into the real world, I was like, oh, okay. Like, it just kind of, it, not like it's bad, but this is when I noticed that there was like a shift in the story that they started telling, and I was like, okay, I would rather would have done the last part of the movie that we were already in.
Yeah, them going to this gas station and her stealing, getting this guy's phone by telling him, oh, look, I'm the tech CEO, and then them stealing the guy's car and her. It's all just stuff that I'm like, I just don't think that the movie needs any of this.
I totally agree.
I think you, like, and again, this is all runtime. Like, the Hasan Minhaj stuff, it's like, that's an entire storyline that I don't need at all. Nope. I don't necessarily need the storyline between Evan Peters and his mom. I don't need his mom in there. Nope. I don't need, you know, like, I don't need this little bit with like them getting the car and the phone from this guy at the gas station.
Yeah.
I think having them in the car chatting about Depeche Mode is fine.
Yeah. I mean, it gives him it shows that he is evolving and that he has his own thoughts and feelings and everything. Yeah, that's fine. Sad.
Learning more about the inner life of Ares on this road trip. But I'm like, they should just take a car from Dillinger that's fast enough in the first place and have this conversation on the way there, whatever.
Yeah.
But they have to get back to her office where they're going to use Flynn's sort of whatever digitizer ray from the original movie to send him back into the original 80s version and see if he can, get source coded up from Flynn. Listen, when he first gets digitized into this 80s, my initial response was, ah, cool. That's kind of fun.
Yeah.
I was like, this is something different. This is fun to see them take the aesthetic from the 80s movie and sort of blend it with newer techniques and make it. But it's just that, like, we either need to do something with this that's more interesting, or we need to get through this sequence faster because he gets stuck here for too long.
Yeah. And it's weird because, like, do they do anything else? I mean, there's not much that happens when they're driving the car and they get back, but then Athena becomes the new master program.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you can do this by any means necessary. So she gets like a jetpack and she goes. So they end up at NCOM and like the NCOM tower, and they go up, and then he's got like 30 seconds left and they're setting up the laser, and then Athena comes and is waiting, and they kind of like, he's like, oh, change of this again. Like, he's like, change of plan, and he starts running after, but then they digitize him anyway. So I didn't really get what the point of that was.
I think it's just showing that he like is heroic, that he can, that he's willing to self-sacrifice in order to help Greta Lee's character, that he feels some kind of affinity for her.
Yeah.
But again, this is all just very thin, and I don't know. I just feel like...
And it's, Athena comes crashing through after he gets digitized. And then again, like, this could be a really cool, like, they're having to, like, run away from this, you know, larger-than-life human being who, like, is way stronger than they are. But like, she, Greta Lee's like crawling under the what do you call it? Not ping pong, pinball machines. And she's just like, and she's throwing the pinball machines. I was like, why don't you just walk in front of those? Like, it's a stupid reason to show action.
Yeah.
But it's not fun. Like, how are you going to escape from this person?
Right.
Anyway, they have this part, and then she ends up, or the water comes on. That's right. The water comes on in the building because there's some sort of fire. And then that makes Athena kind of stop and feel the water. Like, you can see that she is feeling something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then at that point, her time runs out and she just dies. And
yeah.
And then, I just, again, like, make this a cooler sequence.
Yep. Yep. And then she gets reconstituted and basically comes back with like the giant ship that you see in the trailer.
Yeah.
The big, like, I don't know. It's like a big, like,
whatever.
M or something.
whatever it is.
And I think at this point, for some reason, Evan Peters and his mom, like, his mom's like calling it off. She's like, I'm taking control. I'm retaking over as CEO and we're shutting all this down. And then Athena kills his mom. And she's like, by any means necessary, don't get in my way. And she gets in the giant ship and she flies into town. And I thought that this was also like very anticlimactic because they make such a big meal of this giant thing flying into town. And it feels like a UFO coming in, and like this, the whole city's looking up at it like, whoa, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But then like this thing gets taken down pretty quickly. Like these fighter jets come in and they like one of them gets taken out, which is pretty cool. Like the little like flying machines that create like the light walls that put the wings between the two light. I was like, that's pretty cool.
Very cool.
That's cool. But then like the next one just makes the next fighter plane just shoots the legs of this ship, and the ship crashes like pretty quick. And I just was like, oh, okay. All right. There's that. And through a lot of this final action sequence, this action set piece, Ares is just chatting with Flynn in the 80s world.
Yeah.
And they're talking about Depeche Mode, and they're talking about why he likes Depeche Mode more than Mozart and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, we're showing that he's got an identity and and all this stuff. I just think the movie's got too many characters and too many storylines that aren't interesting and that don't matter and spends too much time on them. All of its action sequences need more and need to be more interesting. And mostly what it's got is just like interesting visual scenic design and production design and a great score.
Yeah.
And an interesting, intriguing central character who we want more from.
Yeah.
And I feel like it takes Ares too long to get back into the game here in the third act. But after this giant ship crashes, Ares comes back and he's now permanent. He's now, I guess, human. Code. Yeah. And you could say he's human now or whatever.
Well, and I did like the interaction between him and
Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges. Thank you, Jeff Bridges. Always love Jeff Bridges.
He's just a good enough actor that he heightens the film by being good in the scene. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, this really should be the midpoint, probably. Right. Like, move this up, and then when he comes back, because Flynn says, I always, I call this the permanence code, but it's really should be called the impermanence code, because when you go, you can die. So
you're not going to respawn. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which I was like, again, I'm like, great, great idea. I love that too. So like have that be the midpoint. And then when he comes back, he starts kind of has to learn how to be a human without his, without being able to regenerate and feeling pain and feeling these things. But again, they didn't do that. So, I mean, he comes back and he is permanent.
And he has a big final showdown with Athena and all of her like goons and her foot soldiers and stuff, which were formerly his foot soldiers.
Yeah.
But it's like, even this last fight scene, it's like, Ares is cool and he fights good, but I just wish that there was more tension in it. I wish there were more like close calls and I just feel like it's all just like, he just comes back and just sort of wins this fight pretty easily.
There's again, like Greta Lee is running away from the thing. She's trying to draw its attention away. And she ends up getting caught in a loop of the light walls or whatever. But again, there's like no one around. There's like show us, the people like starting to destroy the city and all these other people. Cause then that ups the stakes for other people. Like there's the stakes are just so low.
Yeah.
Like I really want that tension. Like an action scene without tension is just not.
So I feel
not
about
a, again, not nearly as fun.
This whole franchise has really low stakes and just as stories that are like, okay, it's whatever. And I think it's always kind of treated like a video game where it's like, yeah, cool, but it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't, and I think you got to find a way to make it matter,
You
got to find a way to make it like, and I think that Ares is their best way in. And I'll say it. I'm not sure that Jared Leto was the best. I think this character is interesting, but I think Jared Leto is a little distracting just because he is Jared Leto and he's got just, I don't know. I was kind of like, why is his hair like that? Like, why does he have long hair? It just seems like Jared Leto, the actor, was like, I'm not cutting my hair for the movie. So
most likely
we got to fit, but I don't know. I'm like, is this the most interesting person that we could have cast to play this part or
no?
I don't know.
I mean, but again, like you cast someone else, the movie still wouldn't be great.
Yeah.
This is more of a script problem.
Yeah.
But Jared Leto, I would have liked to have seen somebody else just because he's not really like a box office draw, obviously, because the movie is bombing.
The movie is bombing. Yeah.
But I mean, anyway, they have their final fight, like, oh, cool. And then he's like talking to Greta Lee and like, oh, I'm going to go travel the world and be Jared Leto in the digital. Like he just basically becomes Jared Leto.
Like, fully. He's just like, I'm going to go be Jared Leto. And then he is Jared Leto. And it's like, when you see him as like a human guy, it's like, oh, so what?
And he's got like the fluffy hair now. And he's like
wearing a little weird foreign country.
It's like, oh, I'm here learning. And I was like, okay, so Ares just becomes the real, he should start a band. Like, called 30 Seconds to Mars.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But yeah, I mean, that's it. That's, you know, it's like, I guess it's like, okay, Tron Ares, cool. Yeah. Again, like I said, a lot of the stuff visually, they really did engineer it to play well in 3D. So if you're going to go see this in the theater and you're curious about the 3D experience, it's definitely something that like you can only get in theaters. And I would say, if you're like, if you're going to give this tanking movie your money, that's, in my opinion, like, I think I got one of the best possible viewing experiences for it. But I still think I've heard from a lot of people like you. I mean, you obviously didn't see it in 3D, where like the visuals still are nice on a big screen with loud sound and that. But I feel like from Tron Legacy and Tron Ares, they're both movies that have a lot of style and a lot of, you know, visual flair. And I just feel like I'm left being like, it seems like that movie should have been a lot cooler than it was. It seems
And I think that's all three of those movies. And I think from some of the reports that I've read, I think this is the last Tron movie that they'll make, unless they reboot the entire franchise in a while and then make it cooler. Just make it cool if you do that. Don't like, just make it people go into a video game and have to survive.
Just have something to say. It's an interesting concept to say something. And I feel like the movies never have anything to say.
No, they don't.
Yeah. All right, let's get into scores. We give scores on this show out of 10, 10 being the best. Technical rating for the craft of the film, the writing, the directing, acting, effects, musical score, all that stuff. We give a score for the ending. We give a score for rewatchability, a score for cultural significance and impact, and a score for subjectivity, just how we subjectively enjoyed it. So what's your technical rating, Kramer, for Tron Ares?
My technical rating, I gave a 6.5. I think the visual effects are amazing. They did a lot of practical stuff, so I love the costume design. I love the score, again, like really, really good. But the story itself and the scripting phase and the directing, just that's what's lacking. So I took off most of the points for that.
Yeah. I gave it a 7. This was a hard one for me to score, 'cause I was like, you could rate this very high. Technically. Yeah. It's definitely my highest rating of my scores. Mm-hmm. You could give it an 8 or an 8.5 because technically there's so much going on that's really impressive. And I thought that the way that they designed it for a 3D experience was really impressive. Again, I think it would probably do better as like a Sphere experience in Las Vegas or something than an actual movie. But then when I actually just think about what's frustrating about the film is that you have all of this kind of interesting, well-executed stuff from the production design standpoint, from the musical score, a lot of the special effects, but then you have these set pieces that just don't pay it off in the way that you want it to. So it's not just that the script drops the ball. It's also that okay, if the script's going to be thin and if the characters are going to be uninteresting, then at least these set pieces should be really, really cool. And they're like almost cool. And they're almost all disappointing. And so I wound up at a 7, and I don't know if that should be higher or lower, but that's the most generous score I'm going to give.
I think it's good.
What about for the ending?
The ending, I gave a 6. I mean, it was the ending was fun. The action was cool. It was definitely one of the, like, you know, it was kind of choreographed well, but there wasn't really that much tension. So like, and I just felt kind of like, okay, like, yeah, that's good. So better than you know, it wasn't horrible, but it didn't really like wrap everything up in a nice bow and felt very satisfying or earned. So.
Yeah, I gave the ending of this film a 4 because I just was kind of like, I was just like, all right, like this is your big final, like, if it's all building to this and we had to wait with him in the 80s Tron for the last 20 minutes, give me something, like send me home with something. I just kind of felt like, okay, like by the time he was just Jared Leto in like Argentina or wherever he was and just like riding his motorcycle through the street, I was just like, whatever. All right. Bye. movie. And there's a mid credits.
With
Evan Peters. And I was like, oh, who cares?
He becomes the bad guy from the first movie, which is really dumb.
Yeah. God, is that what it was? He becomes the bad guy from the first
movie? Yeah, he wears the same, he has the, you know, it shows an outline of like a suit, and it's the same suit that his grandpa is wearing.
Oh, yeah, who cares?
Yeah, it was dumb. Very, very dumb.
All right, rewatchability.
Rewatchability, I gave a 6. You know, I mean, again, like, lower your expectations.
Sure.
I had low expectations. There's a lot of other movies that I would rather not watch instead of this, you know, like I would put this over some, but so, you know, it's got a good score. Just kind of have it. I wouldn't be opposed if I had to watch it again, but I'm not going to run out to go see it. Maybe I get a 5.5 because I really don't really care as much. So I'll give it a 5.5.
I gave it a 4. Again, I was like, I was going to watch Tron and Tron Legacy to try to be like, well, maybe. And I literally would like, I haven't watched Tron Legacy, I don't think, since I saw it in theaters. Yeah. And I, every time I've thought of watching it again, I've just been like, why though? I don't care. And I think I feel the same way about this one, where it's like, sure, I could see myself giving it another go, but I just don't think, I don't think that there's anything more to be discovered here. I don't think that there's anything deeper going on. And I don't find the action in it interesting enough to go back to it again. Yeah. Like I talk about John Wick, because I'm like, the thing that makes John Wick rewatchable for me is like, it's endlessly entertaining. The action set pieces are so well executed that I'm just like, I don't really care what's going on in the story right now. The story of all four movies is kind of the same. It's like, oh, all the hitmen are trying to kill John, and John's fighting the hitmen. I could pop in the middle of any John Wick movie. It could be Wick 3, John Wick 4, doesn't matter which one it is, and it's probably a big, long action set piece where Keanu Reeves is fighting like 50 guys in like a nightclub, and I'm just like, sure, whatever.
And it's going to be so fun and entertaining.
It's going to be awesome. And I'm like, if Tron was like that, I'd be like, oh yeah, it's this sweet scene with like this light cycle race that lasts longer than 2 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
I could pop it in, but I'm not going back for the story, so I don't know what I'm going back for. Cultural impact and significance.
Cultural impact, I gave a 4. Now, here's the thing. The first Tron had a huge impact because it was more indirect. It wasn't really a good, it didn't really make that much money, but the fact that they used so many computer graphics, it was like the first time that they did that. And then everybody could kind of go from there. So it ultimately did have a huge cultural impact, even though the story's not great. Tron Legacy, again, this is kind of a movie like they use the de-aging technology, which is used all the time now. Now, it looked horrible in Tron Legacy. Like,
it's really bad.
Just does not look good at all.
Yeah, it's really
But
bad.
Like, okay, you got to start somewhere. And the thing, I actually really like Tron Legacy. It's kind of like a guilty pleasure. I would rate it high on mine. But
maybe it's worth watching again for me, because a lot of people say that. So
it I don't know. I just have a good time with it. And like, I can watch it. But again, the third act is kind of like, ugh, it was disappointing, but still fun. So, but the thing about the soundtrack, again, amazing, like awesome. So it had way more of a cultural impact. This doesn't right now. It's not really making any money, and I don't really see it bringing anything new like the other two movies did, at least. Like, the score is probably going to live on longer than the movie will, or have more popularity, but I don't know, maybe down the line I'll see something that I didn't realize, but it's pretty low for now. So
I gave this a 4 for cultural impact as well. I could maybe bump it up to like a 5 just by saying like, maybe this kills the franchise and that's its cultural impact, is that it kills the series because it performed so low. But I don't know. I just feel like this is a movie that like no one's going to care about in a year. I don't know. Even in the scope of this year, it's just sort of like, it's just another Jared Leto dud. What's your subjective score?
My subjective score is a 6. Again, I took my son, had fun, had low expectations. So it was a good experience. And I am probably going to listen to that soundtrack again. I'd like to, because they had some good songs in there that I think would sound, I want to listen to. So, you know, it's being generous for sure, because I'm probably going to forget about it in a year and be like, oh yeah, I did see that movie. I don't even remember what happened. But anyway, so I think people can have a good time.
Yeah. My subjective score is a 4. Again, I'm not above watching a movie that's thin on plot and and all it is visuals and like cool music and cool. Mm-hmm. But I just want, like, if that's what I'm going to be watching, I'm like, I still feel like this movie leaves and this franchise leaves me wanting, leaves me feeling like, if that's all we got, then like, can we, you know, can we have, is there, give me something, give me something to sink my teeth into. And I just feel like cool costumes and cool production design and a cool soundtrack and some cool 3D effects don't quite add up to there's definitely stuff to like. And I can see why some people might have a really, really fun time with this. But for me, ultimately, I just am kind of like, there's just not enough to hook me in. You know, there's not enough for me to like walk out and go, that, you know, like that scene was cool, or that's, you know, there's a lot of scenes where I'm like, that scene could have been cool.
Yeah,
that scene was almost cool.
Makes me feel really empty. That's how I felt too. Like, could have been really cool, but it wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah. So. It's like we ordered barbecue last night from this place and I was so excited. I was really craving barbecue.
That's the worst.
And they the portions were so small, and that's like the last thing you want from a, you want
a barbecue place. Like, give me a ton of food.
Yeah, it's like, you're always like surprised. You're like, a quarter rack of ribs is that much?
Yeah.
And you know, like I just felt like everything was like, it was like dry and it just wasn't, you know, and I just was like, man.
Yeah, you feel so cheated. That's really kind of how you kind of feel with this movie. Felt
didn't a little cheated. Itch. Yeah. Even I did feel like my expectations were low. I just was like, I'm not expecting anything here. I was just like, that's why I went to go see it in 3D, is because I just was like, well, I'm going to give it the best possible ride I can as IMAX 3D and really try to just sit back and enjoy this film. And I definitely, like, early on, I was like, okay, this is kind of fun. There's, like, a lot of lasers and stuff shooting at the screen. And I was like, but then every time there would be, like, an action set piece that I was like, that's kind of cool. It was just, like, short and inconsequential and didn't, like, advance the plot in a way that was interesting. And by the end of it, I just was like, I don't really care about that. And So that's it. What'd you think about Tron Ares, everybody? Let us know in the comments. Like, share, comment, subscribe. Share this podcast with your friends. You know, hit that subscribe button. Seriously, if you're out there watching, hit the subscribe button and tell people. Let's get the show going. We're going to do some spooky movies up next. We got a spooky block of films, three in a row. It'll probably take us past Halloween, but that's all right. We can go a little bit past it. We're going to do, because we are children of the 90s, and we were born in the late 80s, but we grew up in the 90s. We're going to go back to our roots. So next week we'll be watching The Blair Witch Project.
Yes.
Which is the, you know, it kicked off a whole genre. Yeah. We kind of want to see, how does this film hold up, and does it still work? Is it still as impactful? Or has it lost some of its punch with all of the movies that have come after, all the found footage that movies that it spawned and gave rise to. And then after that, the week after that, we'll be watching Scream, a classic. Wes Craven's Scream, Kevin Williamson, great script. And then after that, we'll be watching a new horror movie. We'll be watching Chris Stuckman's Shelby Oaks, which will be coming out in theaters. So that's what you can watch if you want to watch along with the show. Blair Witch Project, the original from the 90s, Scream, and then Shelby Oaks. And we'll see you there then with all of that stuff. So,
See you then. Bye-bye.